Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Which link are you in the salvation of someone? Because if you say to me, Pastor, I am a Christ follower, I follow Jesus, then my response to you will be, amen, number one, amen, yes. Number two, which link in the chain of salvation are you for someone else? Because I hate to break the news to you, but Christians are not supposed to live in some kind of wait for Jesus to return bubble, like a lot of them do. They don't want to offend. They don't want to make anybody angry. You know, we live in a very turbulent time. I don't want them to unfriend me on Facebook. I don't want the cancel culture to cancel me. All that nonsense. And all of a sudden, we retreat from becoming a link in the chain. When God is bringing people into your life on purpose, do you really think that your coworkers are just there just because? Because they're maybe born here or moved here. They filled out an application, someone put in a word, and they ended up negative. Do you really think that's the way it works? Well, let me help you. That's not the way it works. The way it works is that God ordains everyone that you crisscross paths with. And if you know the message of Jesus Christ, then you must become one of the links in the chain. There are no excuses. What did we say less than 3 weeks ago about the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We regard no one from a worldly point of view. In other words, I don't view people horizontally anymore. I view them with the perspective of God. I see them as God sees them. And God sees lost people in need of a Savior. That's why he sent his son. And if Paul says, I regard no one from a worldly point of view, the love of Christ compels, that's the word he uses, compels me. Because I know that one day I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Church, listen. And I don't want to scare you, and I don't want to guilt trip you. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5, go read it for yourself. I preached on it 3 weeks ago. Go listen to the sermon again for those of you online that say the same thing as well. You, not me, you are going to give account for the people who God brought to your life. Not me. Now, if that sounds a little bit too much for your shoulders, then do something. On a Sunday morning, go pick them up and bring them here. And then you shift the responsibility to me, and I will gladly preach Jesus to them. I will gladly have a cup of coffee with them. I will gladly be loving or get in their face if I have to with the Scripture. But just know this, that the day that you stand before Jesus by yourself, I will not be there. Mommy will not be there. Your husband or wife will not be there. Mommy and daddy will not be next to you. Grandma and grandpa will be next to you. It won't matter how many years grandma spent in church. It won't matter what you did. It won't matter how many songs you sung or how many Bible studies you went to. God is going to look you in the eye and he's going to say, okay, let's go down the list. So-and-so, old high school friend. Oh no, but I didn't see them, but they were your Facebook friend. Social media coming back to haunt us. You see? He knows about that stuff too. What about this person that you met in college? You know, you bumped into them. What happened with that person? You had a job. How nice, you had a job in that brand new building they built over in Coral Gables. So what about so-and-so who sat two cubicles down from you and came to talk to you one day? They were kind of weepy, they didn't look right, and you kind of just, what about that? Do you get the point? You are going to answer for them, not me. You are their pastor. You are their evangelist. You are their missionary. Missionaries just don't go around the world. Missionaries go into other people's houses. They go to Publix. They go to CVS. They go to the Wild West world of Walmart. If you dare even try that. Do you see my point? So don't tell me, and I say this respectfully, I love all of you. I'm looking at the room. I don't think we have any new visitors today. I know everybody pretty well. Those of you online, I'm not sure. I say to you, hey man, what's up, partner? I say to you in love, if you love them, if you truly love them, then what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for someone in their family to die, for an accident to happen, for something to go sideways? Is that it? You want to be just a fireman? Jesus is not a fireman. Jesus is a life-sharing friend and Savior and Lord and King. And every day that passes, that you do not give that friend that you love so much, note sarcasm, you are in essence dropping them off at the gate to town, leaving there to beg for scraps because they're begging for a little bit of love, they're begging for attention, they're begging for truth, they're begging for true love, for true attention, for true forgiveness, for true redemption, for true friendship. What did I say just 2 weeks ago? We are supposed to live by kingdom values, not the half-hearted values of this world. So give someone true love. Give someone true forgiveness. Give someone true understanding. Give someone a true view of Jesus Christ. Stop wasting their time. Stop calling yourself their friends. Because I am saying to you again, lovingly, respectfully, because I know all of you well, you're not their friend. You are not one of the four. So what I say to you this morning is become one of the four. Grab one of the corners of their mat because they are paralyzed. They are paralyzed scripturally. They are not living the life that God intended for them. And bring them, did you catch a phrase in the scripture? They brought them before Jesus. They didn't just kind of mention him. Well, you know, here's a little, we have a bunch of invite cards, pens, take whatever you want, the stickers. Oh, here's a little invite card to my church. No. They said, look, I'm giving you this and I'm picking you up on Sunday. That's the difference. They brought them before Jesus. What did I keep saying as it started? There was space in front of Jesus. Space for one more. So please, spare me the friendship talk. Because not me. The Bible, God's word, God himself who inspired this, is not buying what you're selling. He's not. So if you're going to be a friend, become one of the four. Become a link in the chain of their salvation. Let me give you a couple of things that in their makeup for us to begin to apply to our lives. What pushed them? Love. That's the foundation of the whole approach. If you truly experience God's love and if you experience Jesus' selfless love for you, you are naturally pushed out to another. They were convinced. There were other miracle workers, sort of doctors in the ancient world, not good ones, obviously. But there was other resources. But they were convinced that only Jesus could fix their friend. Church, are you convinced yet that Jesus is the answer to XYZ person in your life who is living a paralyzed life? They're living halfway. And if you really study them, they're doing this every day. Somebody help me. Somebody free me. Somebody help me get up and walk. Because God has intended more from this life than I'm living. But I just don't know who he is. Bring them in front of Jesus. Be convinced about it. If I say faith, it goes in one ear and out the other. A deep trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Does that make more sense than me just saying faith? A deep trust. Being relentless. Not in an annoying way. Annoying people that never get some closer to Jesus. But being relentless in that you will not allow any obstacle. Not the other side of town, not the crowd, not the Pharisees, not the roof, not the dirt, not the beams. Nothing gets in the way of you working to bring that person before Jesus Christ. A relentless attitude, a persistent attitude. First, persistent prayer for them. If you truly want to see someone sitting next to you here saved in the name of Jesus Christ, you bow your head and get on your knees for them every single day. Lord, use me as a link in the chain for X person. You and just focus on this person. Or maybe there's two or three, whatever it might be, but you are on your knees praying for them. Persist in prayer and you will persist in your love and approach to them. Sacrifice. Guess what? Those four guys had families. Those four guys had children. Those four guys had vacation time. Those four guys right here that bring the paralytic over to Jesus, they also had things to do, a schedule. But what did they do? They sacrificed time at their job. They sacrificed their vacation time. They sacrificed time with their families. They sacrificed time with their kids. They sacrificed their vacation time that their friend might be in front of Jesus. Does this make sense, church? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what's going on here. So I say to you this morning, as we move into our second point, which is much shorter than the first, you know, our first point, we talk about being true friends, and now we're going to talk about being true love. Church, be one of the four. Be one of the four. Bring someone in front of Jesus. Let's talk about true forgiveness. So we reset the scene. Now we're in here. We've dusted ourselves off. There's a skylight in the house all of a sudden. You know, maybe a nice little touch for the look of the room. Nonetheless, there's dirt now on the ground. And here comes a guy, right? There is no talk in the scripture that the Pharisees ever stood up from where they were. The great religious ones. The ones who knew God the best. The ones who were in church all the time. There's no talk that they like walked over and said, okay, well, Jesus, can we do this? No. They're just sitting still. And now he's in front. And Jesus, you know, maybe Jesus needs glasses. He is perfectly God and perfectly man. Maybe he needs glasses. Because he sees a paralyzed man come down in front of him, and he says, your sins are forgiven. That's not what we came here for. We came here to fix his legs. Maybe we could do the sin thing some other time. But here's the thing. And now we come back around to the friend talk. Here's where I finished that part. What did this man truly need? What did this man truly need? Church, did he need to walk his way into hell? Or did he need to be forgiven that he might have the doors open to an eternity with his loving God? Which is it? Which did he need? That's why the Apostle Paul says, I regard no one from a worldly point of view. Can you see it now? I want you to just see it from Scripture. This is not Edwin talking, this is Scripture talking. Right? Because when you look at someone and you are no longer looking at them from a worldly point of view, like the Apostle Paul says, compelled by the love of Christ, then all of a sudden you look at them and you're like, well, you know, maybe they need some exercise. Maybe they're doing too much exercise. Maybe they eat too much, maybe they don't. Maybe their job is good, maybe it's bad. But I'm looking beyond all that nonsense. Oh, the nice house they have, the nice family. I'm looking into their heart and I am seeing they're lost. They're lost. Hey, look, I'll let you in on a little conversation. Every time we interview one of our teachers for the elementary school here that we're building on site, in the interview, this is something I always say, and it might sound a little shocking to you, but I want you to understand worldly point of view versus salvation point of view. Sit there always across from a teacher, and it's always shocking to some who are interviewing, sometimes for the first time out of FIU, right? They're thinking this is just school, this is whatever. I said, listen, this is both, you know, education plus the impact on the kid and their salvation. Because what good does it do if we create an amazing mathematician? What good does it do if we create an amazing scientist? What good does it do if we have a kid who knows, and I can never figure this out, the adverb, the predicate, the subjects. I wrote and spoke. I couldn't figure that out. Right? What if we do one of those good ones? Are they going to do it for the rest of their eternity in hell? Is that what we're preparing? When we hired a music teacher here at the school, I said, I want you to understand what we're doing here. We're trying to raise up musicians, not just so they can play in some concert hall. We want them eventually to play for Jesus. Because what good does it do for them to play a guitar or the drums or the bass guitar, whatever, in hell for an eternity? Can you see the difference? Can you hear it? So now all of a sudden you say, wait a second. So now I'm looking at children in a different way. I am realizing that I just don't want just a great mathematician or a good musician or someone who's really good at English or good at science. I want to save them first. Everything I said about friendship, I meant it, and those are good things. Be there for your friends. Answer the call right away. Help them financially if they need to. If they got a crash in your house, let them stay there. That all comes, number two, flowing out of your love to rescue their soul. Because what good does it do to help someone climb up the corporate ladder, to help someone get a good deal on the house because I know somebody? What good does it do to help them get that first car if they're going to take all that with them to hell? And I have to say it that way because, you know, because if not, sometimes we just don't get it. Because you got to understand, church, the Bible talks about this life as a mist, a morning vapor, a little fog. When the sun comes out, it's gone. What is 85 and a half years? I think that's the expectancy now. What is that in the face of eternity? It's nothing. It's the blink of an eye. So are you just preparing for the moment? Or are you preparing for the moment, the forever moment? And that's where you get Jesus saying your sins are forgiven. That's the real problem this man has. Now, let me, on two levels, right? On our level, we understand bigger picture of sin, right? And the rescue we need from it. We get that. Here's how Jesus answers the Pharisees. Because did you catch a little thing that he says? Because the Pharisees were thinking in their minds. So as God, he kind of probes. Really cool movie scene. He probes their minds. He says, why are you thinking in your minds that what I'm doing here is wrong? You know, that I don't have the... So in their culture, okay, and sometimes this does happen, there, if something was wrong with you physically, there must have been some kind of nasty sin in your past that caused it, or in your family. That was just kind of the mindset, right, of Israel at that time, at that time. Is there something to be said about a sinful act or a sinful explosion in your life affecting you physically moving forward? Yes, that's been documented. But nonetheless, in that culture, they just connected the two directly. So Jesus says, so what's easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to tell them to get up and walk? Which is the harder of the two, church? The harder of the two is to tell them to get up and walk. Because after that, you need real power. Anybody can say your sins are forgiven. There's nowhere to check. There's no way to know. So I can sit here today, if I wanted to be some cool like faith healer, you know, and be one of those TV guys, I can say, your sins are forgiven. There would be no way to know if Enrique's sins are forgiven, but I can get away with it. We wouldn't know. But it's different if Enrique's sitting here and he can't walk, and I say to him, get up and walk. See, but in their culture, if I tell him to get up and walk, what does that mean? It means his sins are forgiven, because the sin was keeping him paralyzed. And if I forgive the sin and he truly can walk, there's only one person with that authority, God. And that puts Jesus in the same place as God. And for them, that was blasphemy. So he's going to answer the question to them. You're wondering in your minds, which is easier? You're wondering in your minds why I say this? Get up and walk. Because he knew that the moment that that man got up and walked, everyone wrapping around that house, out the back, in the windows, the guys upstairs, you know, the four guys peeking in through the new skylight into the house, they are, if he gets up and walks, sin is forgiven. The only person who can forgive sin is God. That means that God is among us. Why do we say Emmanuel at Christmas time, church? God with us. And now all of a sudden, Jesus has shown you even more of himself. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus in the synagogue, a true message, the gospel, good news for the poor, the blind will see, prisoners released, oppressed released, and then, you know, true message. Then we saw true power, a bunch of fish jumping into the nets instead of jumping out. And then last week, we saw true love. We saw true love to the leper. I am willing. I will make you clean. And then today, you see true authority. The authority to forgive sins that can only belong to one person, God. Therefore, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is here. We'll close by saying this. In the ancient world, when someone died, for the most part at home, there's no hospital, no facilities like we have in our day. Typically, they dig a hole in the roof, and they took the body out that way, so that the body wouldn't make things unclean on its way out. Very big deal in the culture. On that day, no dead body goes out the roof. A man who was put back together again, made whole and redeemed, ran out the front door praising God. Church, please stay with that image in your mind today. That one day, the person that you are praying for, the person that you most desperately want them to know Jesus, well, and maybe I'm just going to use our church as an example, would run out those doors praising God because they have been made whole again. Don't let them live a spiritually paralyzed life. Become one of the four. Let them delight in the total and forever love of Jesus, the total and forever compassion of Jesus, the total and forever care of Jesus, the total and forever restoration of Jesus, the total and forever redemption of Jesus. Give them that new life. Stan, the paralytic, ran out the door and left his four friends behind. He wasn't picking up the mess. They were. Who cares? Because Stan walked out of that day, not with new legs, but with a new heart. Not with new legs, but with a new life. Not with new legs, but with a new destiny. Church, you are surrounded by people We'll pray for them in a second. You are surrounded by people who are standing by the road of life begging to be made whole. I'm going to leave you with the phrase that the Bible says, bring them in front of Jesus. Don't let them be here anymore. Don't let them be here anymore. Don't let them be here anymore. No obstacles, no barriers. Relentless, persistent, trusting, convinced. All of you are here. All of you are here. Because someone was that person in your life. Yes or no? Show of hands. You are here because someone did that for you in your life. Well, become that person for someone else. That they might know Jesus too. That they might understand what it means to be here, sitting here amongst a family of faith, for those who are watching online as well. Be one of the four. Know that Jesus saves. Know that God is good. And know that God loved you so much that he gave his only son so that you would walk and run and delight in the amazing, redeemed life that he has prepared for you. Do that for someone else. Be one of the four. Can we say amen to that, church? Amen. Amen. Before I pray to close, just very quickly, if you just bow your heads with me for a moment, I want you, if you have someone in your life like that, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. For those of you online, if you want to, don't post it on the YouTube thing because that's public. But just for a moment, I'm just going to give you like literally 10 seconds as you bow your heads and I'm going to pray. Just say their name. Say their name to Jesus. We don't have to hear you. I mean, you're wearing masks, for goodness sake, we can't hear anything, you know? So just as you bow your heads and close your eyes, that person that you need to be one of the four to rescue them, just say their name. I'll give you about 10 seconds and then I'll pray. So just, church, just bring that name before Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would hear these names. Those names are attached to people. People attached to lives. Lives that you sent your son to die for. So today, we lift these different individuals here in the church and for those who are at home, we lift these names up before you. These lives that you have brought us into contact with, into intersection with. And I pray that you would use us to bring true change, lasting change, to redirect them completely. From a life of darkness to a life of light. From a life of just wandering to a life of direction and purpose. To a life of begging for scraps. To a life of enjoying the fullness of everything that you have to give. Use us, God, as a link in the chain of salvation for those individuals. Give us that Holy Spirit courage. Give us those Holy Spirit words that only you can, that their destiny might be changed. Lord, don't let us underestimate the impact that we can have on their lives with our words, with our love, with our care, with our understanding, with our compassion. Lord, give us a moment in the life of all those names that have gone up before you right now, Lord. Give us a moment that we would have that, as we love to say here, that Jesus conversation. That things might be different, that their life would be new, that they would no longer be paralyzed, but that they would run, praising your name. Use us, God, as a link in their salvation. Use us, God, that we might be one of the four. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you for sending other people to our lives to change us. May we become that in the life of another. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we all pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, Visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.